This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. And that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal. Soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast brought to you by Favor, drinkatfavor.com. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and as always, I've got another great one lined up for you. This week, I'm going to have Scott Baer from NBC Sports Bay Area join the show. Man, he has got one of the craziest stories in Raiders history to break down for us. We're going to get all into that, but before we do, make sure that you check out VegasNation.com for all of your up-to-date Raiders content. Download the Vegas Nation app and subscribe to the show wherever you are listening. So, Scott Baer is going to come on the show, and he is going to talk about Pro Bowl center Barrett Robbins, who disappeared for Super Bowl 37 when the Raiders lost to John Gruden's Bucks. Now, some of you may know that Robbins was out getting completely wasted in Tijuana, but do you know why? That story is now being unveiled in a new podcast series called Sports Uncovered: The Mysterious Disappearance of Barrett Robbins by our media partner, NBC Sports Bay Area. They're going to bring everything to light in this series. You can find that on nbcsports.com/Bay Area/podcast. But first, we're going to bring on Scott Baer, who, as I said earlier, had covered the Raiders for years. He's going to join the show to break down what you can expect to hear on the podcast series. But more importantly, he's going to also explain how this story came to light, because the interview was in the trash, people. It was about to be thrown away, and it was recovered. Scott is going to explain how all of that happened right now as we get this interview started.
It was something that just got lost in the shuffle. It was going to be a long form, you know, documentary film, really. And NBC Sports Bay Area's Greg Papa, who was a longtime former radio voice of the Raiders, and some of our video crew traveled all the way down to South Florida, where Barrett was in prison for one of his several stretches, and they went into the middle of a jail yard, not into a private cell with a door or anything, into a jail yard. They sat down over the course of 2 days with Barrett Robbins, and he was very candid and talked about basically everything. And it was kind of a weird experience for those guys. The story is that one time their only security guard fell asleep on them right as they got to some very difficult questions. But nonetheless, this tape, which is so good and so valuable, and I encourage people that listen to the podcast to go watch the interview in its entirety on NBC Sports Bay Area's YouTube channel. It ultimately didn't work out getting all of the other components put together, and it got put on a shelf, and then that shelf got dusty, right? And then it kind of sat there forever. And eventually, when this Sports Uncovered series came about, somebody said, hey, don't forget about this. And the person who shot it had to go back and sift through it and try to find exactly where this fantastic interview was, and resurrected it. And we really kind of built everything around it, because Barrett hasn't been talking to very many people lately. So that's basically how it worked. It was this great shot, a 2-day interview that just never got fully completed. And I am glad and happy to say, I know that Greg Papa is as well, that it's finally seeing the light of day.
Now, I think at the time some people had said, well, Greg Papa, actually, it was an interview I read with him on Mercury News, had said that he thought that maybe the content might be too salacious was the actual word. So, you know, now some years later, this is what, almost 17 years, 18 yeah. years later, when you look back on it, you know, it's obviously a bit controversial. What is it now that you think that made it less salacious, or was it just that the times have changed, that, you know, the audience is ready to receive this kind of interview that's so in depth with Barrett Robbins?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question. I think it just kind of starts with, it's all about time and distance. And I think ultimately that made it more acceptable for some of the other players to talk about. I also think that, you know, like right at the top of the podcast, they talk about Barrett Robbins going down to TJ and engaging in prostitution with multiple, you know, women. And there was a lot of detail that is definitely not PG rated. And I think ultimately maybe it's just the time. And again, it's the distance of other players now being more comfortable talking about those types of details and exactly what happened and exactly why they happened. That I think ultimately that maybe that's why it's more well suited now than it was then. That said, there's still some stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor that, you know, didn't really quite fit exactly what we were trying to say.
Well, I'd love to hear some of that, because I'm already so super intrigued. Again, this podcast is Sports Uncovered, that we're talking about the mysterious disappearance of Barrett Robbins. And Scott, you had multiple Raiders that were involved in speaking about this. And one of them that interests me was Tim Brown, wide receiver for the Raiders, that said that there was a lot of blame to put around Bill Callahan, who's the coach at the time, who had just replaced Gruden, who was now coaching on the opposite side with the Bucks, and that he had changed the game plan just, I think it was days before, maybe a couple days before, and all of that pressure was falling on Robbins, who was known to have depression. They had already determined that 10 years prior, that he had these type of depression issues, and that it may have actually been misdiagnosed, but we'll get into that. But, you know, how much do you feel like what Tim Brown had to say with Bill Callahan, and that his changing the whole game plan that soon before the game was supposed to take place really had an effect on Robbins and what happened?
Yeah, and that's definitely a working theory, and there are several of them. I think ultimately, I mean, Tim Brown in the podcast legitimately says Bill Callahan's the worst thing to ever happen to this organization. That is no mincing words from a guy with incredible status, both within the NFL and also within the Raiders kind of hierarchy. And I thought that that was powerful. And the intimation to say that changing the game plan from a power rushing scheme, something that Barrett was very good at, to passing 55 or 60 times at the last minute can definitely overwhelm you. Changing a game plan on a Friday is something that's virtually unheard of even in week two. Right. So that was definitely a big deal. Something that's often forgotten in this and wasn't included in the podcast is that Barrett Robbins was actually really beat up. His knee wasn't in great shape. And I think that, you know, there's already some uncertainty of how am I going to play in the biggest game of my life when I'm not physically 100%, you know. And then there's the fact that just as you alluded to, that maybe he was misdiagnosed, you know, he was diagnosed after the Super Bowl with something different, with bipolar. And he talks about going in these manic episodes where he doesn't remember things and he gets stressed out, and those types of things can trigger it. And the tough thing for me, and I think for people listening, is you have to just absorb and understand that sometimes when we want specific answers, they're just not there. That is a working theory. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe it's a confluence of a number of different things. But the bottom line is that it's a combination of a mental health issue with a substance abuse problem that kind of dovetailed into itself and turned into a very regrettable, you know, incident that, as we hear in the podcast, right? Some players can't forgive Barrett 17 years later. other players say Bill Callahan didn't help Barrett Robbins and he screwed our entire team for the entire year. So there's a lot of working things. And I think that when you have a project like this, you want to just present the information and then let people absorb it and then really try to analyze and sync it all up. Because the tough part about that period is we don't know exactly what was in Barrett's mind, because Barrett says there are times when he doesn't remember everything clearly. So you're dealing at times with an unreliable narrator, and that makes it a difficult, proposition. So for all those reasons, this confluence of events, it ended up turning into, what happened, which was all bad news for the Raiders organization and for Barrett Robbins himself.
It feels like something that a lot of people, particularly Al Davis at the time, just never were really to get. They couldn't get over it. A 48-21 blowout. John Gruden on the other side, he'd been traded just the year prior. This was his first season with the Bucks. What kind of effect do you think that Barrett Robbins's absence really had on the Super Bowl game, with all of the other factors that were involved with, from John Gruden to the playbook change to just everything else that was happening around this one person, with Barrett Robbins?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think it's a piece of the puzzle, maybe a large piece. I don't know if it's the largest piece, though, because while the Raiders were favored going into that game, changing the game plan late doesn't help. The fact that we spoke to some Tampa Bay Buccaneers players who said that they knew every fourth signal call, that they could tell which play was coming, right? That
they never changed all those, it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that absolutely blows my mind. Change some language or mess things up with the fact that John Gruden was on the other sideline. John Gruden was a guy that former Raiders offensive lineman Mo Collins even said, "I'd stop a bullet for that guy," that they loved him. And John Gruden's on the other side after that crazy trade in 2002, two first rounders, two second rounders, and $8 million, the impossible dream of a trade that Al Davis, according to Amy Trask from when I interviewed her about 2 years back, said he just kind of threw out a number thinking that would never possibly get taken. And then it happened. So I think it's all those things is why it hurt Al Davis so bad. Somebody who's not used to losing. I'm sure he was still bothered by losing Super Bowl II, So ultimately that getting beat by someone that he traded when his center wasn't available, with a coach that was struggling to attach himself to the players, and the fact that the Super Bowl is played in front of nine figures worth of people, right? And the Raiders got their butts kicked from the outset in a game that wasn't even as close as the final score, predicted. So if you add all those things that we're talking about, all those things that you mentioned, that I mentioned, it's unfair to say that it's Barrett Robbins' fault. Did he help? No. Did the situation help? No. But there were a lot of factors at play here, and none of them can be ignored.
All right, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, Scott and I are going to talk about the Raiders' upcoming season and what we expect to see in 2020. So stay tuned right here on the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm Heidi Fang, and I'm joined here with Scott Baer from NBC Sports Bay Area, and we're talking all about the podcast series that's now airing with NBC Sports Bay Area, that called Sports Uncovered, the Mysterious Disappearance of Barrett Robbins. I have just a couple more things here that I want to touch on with this. He says that he was suicidal.
at the point of the weekend, and Branch, a teammate, found him in the cab. He's crying. He said that he's contemplating just, you know, giving up on everything, giving up on life. When you heard that, I mean, first of all, it's super, like, just chilling within itself, but do you feel like maybe by Branch actually finding him that he may have saved his life that night?
I mean, that's a great question. Possibly. He was already – so Calvin Branch saw Barrett Robbins at a bar, and the first reason why he realized something was wrong is he saw Barrett in a bar for the second straight day, and Barrett was in the same clothes, right? So that was like a red flag. And then he went out to go hail a taxi cab, and Barrett Robbins was already in it. I don't know where he was going at that point, but – to get him back to the team hotel. He tries to sneak him up into the team hotel only, you know, to just get him in his room, let him compose himself, get him to a meeting, and hopefully things can iron out for him. And then the linebacker's coach comes on, the elevator, and, you know, doctors kind of get involved in this thing. It was a period where he was, you know, on suicide watch. And there's a crazy statement or story or anecdote, I guess, included from Bruce Allen, a former Raiders executive, who said that when he talked to Barrett, Barrett didn't know whether the game had been played or not. At first he thought that it hadn't. Then he asked if they had won and that if he was going to get on a plane to go to the Pro Bowl, right? Like that is the type of state of mind that he was in. And, you know, Barrett does talk at times when he gets in these manic episodes, he just kind of like walks around and can't really, you know, focus on anything. And that's how he's gotten in trouble in his past. So possibly I would say that maybe that was something to get him back around his teammates and get him back around doctors who could give him some type of, you know, proper help, could have, you know, definitely helped him. That's, again, one of these, you know, like one of these mysteries that, even 17 years later, maybe in 17 more years later, maybe we're not going to have all of the exact answers, you know, from a story that, again, is both intriguing and tragic. And, you know, again, hopefully is a sign that if you look back 17 years at the NFL's focus on mental health then and compare it to maybe where it is now and hopefully where it will be in the future, at least so we can see, you know, strides being taken.
Yeah, they've definitely done a lot, I think, in the past couple of decades since the Super Bowl happened to really research everything from CTE to depression to, you know, even substance abuse with the players. So, yeah, from what we saw back 2002, 2003, when all of this happened, it's definitely, I think, come leaps and bounds. You know, speaking of things coming leaps and bounds, I wanted to get your take, just because you covered the Raiders for so many years, how much they have improved through the draft, through the offseason, the linebacker core particularly, I'm interested in your take on, because you see a guy like Corey Littleton and you have to kind of be thinking that John Gruden is just chomping at the bit to see this guy on the field. What do you make of just what you see out of this year's roster so far?
Yeah, I don't want to gush, but I really, really like what they've done. And I think because Kansas City and a certain quarterback who signed a $500 million contract in it and is going nowhere, that part of the equation is not just have the Raiders improved, it's are they a better matchup against the Chiefs, right? Well, they got a lot faster with Ruggs and Lynn Bowden, and they got a lot faster on defense with Corey Littleton. And when I look at their defensive moves, especially in that linebacker core, I think, hey, Raiders, welcome to the modern era. You know, that's no longer a 255-pound dude with a neck roll playing Mike linebacker only going forward. That how many times are you, like, are you going to let Travis Kelce beat you before you decide to defend this guy, right? At some point, that's got to happen. At some point, you need physical, long cornerbacks like Damon Arnette and Trayvon Mullen, who can slow the fast little guys down at the point of attack. And the Raiders, the reason why I like it is it's not fun, but it's interesting because, you know, the draft analysts who do draft profiles and those of us who study mock drafts and do them, unfortunately, is that we all look at it and we're saying, Damon Arnette's a reach. And the Raiders are like, we don't care because he fits our system. He does what we need him to do well. right? And it doesn't matter if you pick a guy at 19 or Trayvon Mullen came at 40, or, you know, or you sign somebody in free agency, they got guys that fit their attitude. And I think that while it was so ugly when they had to tear this thing down and trade Khalil Mack, right? And that 2018 season was, you were there, right? It was an absolute slog. But if you look at it now, it was a necessary evil to get all the draft capital and all of the salary cap freedom to do what was required to get to this point. So now they're here, right? They're starting to stack draft classes. The next part, the most important part, is going out to that shiny new Death Star just off of the Las Vegas Strip and start winning some football games. 7-9, I think, will be an extreme disappointment next season. And I think Raiders fans should feel that way. They should think we are a playoff team. And I think the Raiders internally in that beautiful place out in Henderson feel the same way. And it's time. They've given themselves enough time to stack up talent, maybe as long as I've been talking right now. It seems like years. And nonetheless, I think they finally got the pieces to the puzzle, offense and defense, to match up better with the Chiefs, to match up better with the AFC, and at minimum, go out and get one of those wild card spots.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the time, Scott. I really appreciate it. I know you've got a really busy day. You've got things to run off to, but I want to remind everybody to check out this podcast series that is on NBC Sports Bay Area Sports Uncovered, the mysterious disappearance of Barrett Robbins. And Scott, let the fans know out here where they can find you if they'd like to catch up with you on social media.
Any social media that you can imagine, you type in at BAIRNBCS. Hopefully you click on follow, and hopefully I, you know, give you something halfway decent to read. It's anybody's guess.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the time. It's great to catch up with you.
Absolutely. It's been way too long. Best to you and the family, Heidi.
Thank you. Same to you. That'll do it for us here today. I'd like to thank Scott Bear for coming on the show, as he did throw out there all of his handles to follow him. Make sure you do that. And also make sure to check out that podcast, Sports Uncovered, The Mysterious Disappearance of Barrett Robbins. You can find that again on nbcsports.com/Bay Area/podcast. And for this podcast takeaways, you can subscribe wherever you are listening. Make sure to download the Vegas Nation app and head over to vegasnation.com and follow Vegas Nation on any of your social media handles. And if you want to subscribe to everything that we're doing for coverage with the Raiders this year, use my link, mylvrj.com/Heidi. It's easy to find your subscription links there. You also get a commemorative Raiders 2020 season preview when you subscribe. So check that out if you're interested in all of the stuff that we're going to put out throughout the year as we get into covering the Raiders here in Las Vegas. Again, I really appreciate everybody out there for listening. If you want to find me on my social media, I am at Heidi Fang on everything everywhere. So just check that out. I also have a fan page on Facebook. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'll be back next week.